on Grecian Echoes Mondays with Mileti and your host Mileti Pouliopoulos. I'm so excited at this time to welcome a guest to our studios and to the air. Stella Nahatis has written a book. She's an author, but her latest book, Taxi to America, A Greek Orphan's Adoption Journey, begins with her life begins in Thessaloniki, and then she comes to America, and she explains her journey and some of the struggles that she had in adjusting and being separated from family and being in the Xenitia. But she is here, and she has courageously overcome so many things in her life. We want to say Kalimera, Stella. Welcome.
Kalimera, Mileti.
So nice. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. It's really great. I see so many good reviews on your book. Everyone is talking about how it's an inspirational book. They're using very strong words, that it's engaging and compelling. And it's your story. Why did you write it? Why did you decide to write the book? I want to start with that.
Well, for years, people had been telling me I should write the book when they would ask me questions. How did you end up in the United States and your sister lives in Greece? And they would hear we were adopted separately, and more questions followed. Why didn't one person adopt both of you? Didn't you have any relatives to take care of you? And they heard the answers to those questions, and invariably they all would say, you should write a book. And I heard that for years. But I also thought, who am I to write a book? Other people have faced harsher adversities, harsher challenges, and I should not be writing the book. And that was for decades. Finally, 5 years ago, a friend of mine, after a round of golf, who had met my sister for the first time that summer, asked me, how come she's in Greece and you're here? The same questions I had just said. And at the end of that conversation, she said, you should write a book. At that point, the seed that had been planted years ago began to germinate, and I started thinking about writing the book. And then 2021, during the COVID-19 quarantine, I was at home. We were all at home, not able to do anything in person, outdoors. I received an email from Hay House Publishing, which offered a 7-day writing challenge, and specifically memoir writing. And I signed on right away. So for 7 days, we took the challenge. We had instruction, we had assignments, and at the end of the 7 days, I was psyched, and I was committed to write the memoir. So I signed on, took their courses, and I began to write. In 3 months, I had a rough draft, and literally a rough draft, which needed to be obviously edited and have it make a little bit of sense before I could even give it to anyone to read. Luckily, my husband, Charles, very supportive from the very beginning.
Oh, good.
To write the book.
Good.
He was my first editor to work with me on the rough draft. I would take each story and try to make it legible, make sentences, paragraphs, and make it into a story where we could work with it and find an editor to work.
Yeah.
With it. So that's how I started.
And your story, did it start? Does it start with Thessaloniki?
It does. I knew from the, once I decided to write the story, I knew the first chapter and the last chapter. So it began with departing Thessaloniki, and the separation began at that point of my life, my separation from my family, my sister, my country. It began at that time.
Mm. So your parents had placed you for adoption, but with separate families.
Actually, maybe this is a spoiler, but obviously we were adopted.
Oh.
They actually died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I don't want to go into that. No, people who haven't read the book.
And maybe I shouldn't ask. You know.
And maybe next time it's a spoiler, I won't answer. Okay. How's that?
I know. It's you're coming here as an adopted, someone that's adopted, and you came to, where did you settle when you came?
Boston, the Brighton-Alston neighborhood.
Yeah, there was a lot of Greek people, I would imagine, in those years.
There were. And the parents who adopted me were from Nausa, so they had friends from Nausa who helped them find housing, and they were our neighbors.
Yeah.
And there was a Greek community in Brighton-Alston.
And where did you go to the to church?
We went to the cathedral.
Yes.
Yellow bus used to come and collect us from the neighborhood, Brookline, Brighton, Alston, and bring us to the cathedral.
Kikuzi's bus. Yeah. Wasn't that something that he did that in those years? And so you were with Greek people,
mm-hmm.
and yet you still had to overcome some things as a recent immigrant. Did you know English when you came?
I did not speak any English.
Oh.
I flew over on an airplane by myself at 11 years old with the only language I had for it was no and yes. And so it was very difficult to adjust right away.
Right, yeah.
Luckily, I did go to school after a mishap with the public school after a week of trying to adjust in the sixth grade without speaking any English. They realized I should not be there.
Thank God they realized this, Stella, because I have a friend that they went to put her in special needs. Wait, I found out her history, and she said, well, the teachers didn't know how to do it. They figured she must need special attention. And there was a Greek woman that stepped in on her behalf and said, no, it's just the language, you know, barrier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they did. They sent me to school in Boston, it was the Columbus High School in Boston, but they did have a classroom for ESL, and that's where I learned the language.
And that was a good time, actually, because then you went into high school, I would imagine, or you were just a year before high school, somewhere in
then
that
I period. Went to the seventh grade, so I never did go to sixth grade, not here, not in Greece.
Yeah.
They went by age.
Right. So what was it like growing up and with other kids and, you know, these questions that come up? I'm thinking of going to school and there are people saying, well, you know, they always say, do you have any brothers or sisters? How would you answer that?
I decided I was an only child because I did not want to say, yes, but my sister is in Greece. I was adopted. We were separated. So
yeah.
I did not want to go into that story. And so it was easier to just say no.
Say no, right. Yeah, which is also painful because inside you must be saying, I do have a sister. And you and your sister managed to stay in touch. Is that right, all those years you were separated?
While we were separated, we did not have any contact for 8 years.
Oh.
My biological uncle and I knew where she was. And he did stay in touch with her parents. And there's a thing, I'm saying her parents. It was a weird thing as a young child. What was I going to tell the kids in school? Her parents.
Right.
Anyway, my uncle stayed in touch with her parents, and we knew she was well and she was doing well, but her parents did not want her to have communication with us.
I wish I could understand that. I'm not sure.
I kind of understand it and understood it, that they wanted her to bond with them before she had any communication with us. They wanted to ensure. And I have to tell you, when they first picked her up, she said, "And I want to know where my sister is. When I find her, I'm going to leave and go to my sister." So right away they had that fear. So they wanted her to bond with them. So I get it. It was difficult for both of us.
Was there anyone, when the separation happened, was there a gentle way of, did anyone sort of explain why it has to happen this way?
No one explained it.
Nothing.
No. I just knew, one day I came home from school and my sister was gone. 2 weeks after her parents had passed. And they just said, oh, she went to live with another family. She has new parents. It's for her own good. And then the chatter was, what will we do with the older one? I was the older sister.
Yeah.
And again, no one said it to us directly, but I heard it. They said, oh, she's too old. The orphanage won't take her. How lucky they took the young one. And what will we do with her?
Oh,
so we have to find a place for her. So it was...
It's heart-wrenching. It really is. So then you were given new parents.
Yes.
Which is a blessing.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Did you feel, did it take a while to adjust to feel this is my home now?
It's a strange feeling because I knew I had to have parents. I had to leave. My uncle had taken us from Thessaloniki. He lived in a village near Veria.
Oh.
And so he took us to the village, which we knew the village because our grandmother was there, Yaya was there, and we loved it. We loved being there and with her. However, my uncle's line was, we won't be able to educate you. You will be better off to be with another family.
Right.
And so I believed it as much as I wanted to stay with him.
Yeah.
I was very close to him.
Now looking back as an adult, do you still believe it?
Absolutely. I think he did the right thing for whatever reason he did it. It ended up being the right thing for both my sister and me.
Yeah. It's... You know, I spent the last couple of days looking at the reviews because you have a 5-star rating both on Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, and also with a few other review sites. But as people know, you can go in and read the reviews, and you have some additional ones on your own website, which we should let people know is your name, your full name without a period, StellaNahatis.com. And you're going to get to Stella's website. There's wonderful. I love your blog, which you were letting everyone know sort of the process. Here's where we are in the process.
Yes.
And you had these pictures as well. Now, how did the pictures survive?
When I was in my late teens, one of my visits, I used to go to Greece every summer. So that was a lucky thing. I was able to stay connected with my biological uncle and his family. And when they moved from the village to Veria, they had all these boxes with photographs in them. And as I rummaged through, I saw some that were of my parents and them. And I asked if I could take some of them, which I did. Mm-hmm. And I was so lucky because I think they weren't so much into preserving photographs. So I don't know if they would still be around, but I treasure them. I still have all those black and whites. I love them.
It's amazing. Veria is a very beautiful village,
by the way.
Yeah. I spent some time there. Yeah, that's really great. So our guest this morning for you, if you're just tuning in, our guest this morning is Stella Nahatis. She's an author, and she's written her memoirs down in a wonderful book that is available today on so many sites, and at Taxi to America, A Greek Orphan's Adoption Journey. And you have been out now talking, giving talks about this book, and how has the audience response been to your talks?
I am touched. I am grateful. Everyone is telling me they find inspiration in reading the book. The people who know me feel they understand me even better now. Not they understand the person that they've known and liked all this time.
Yeah.
They just have more insight into me. So the response has been tremendous. I am grateful and thankful for everyone who's read the book, who's commented. Also, everywhere I have been, the libraries, organizations that have asked me to speak have been very complimentary.
I saw on your website you do have some future speaking engagements. You have the Peabody Institute Library in Danvers on June 3rd. So that's coming up. Is that still?
The library was last week on June 3rd. I will be at a new venue for me. It's a Brissanti gift shop.
Oh.
It is a huge gift shop, and she holds workshops at her location, and they range in art. And I will be one a speaker there.
That's
and
great.
She also chose to have my book for her book club reading for May, I believe. Yes, for May. So in June, hopefully some of the people who have read the book will be there to, and I have done that also, have gone to a few book club meetings where they have read the book for the month. And ask me questions about it.
It's so great. I know the book is available both in paperback and hardcover, but also there's a Kindle edition,
yes.
Which is what
yes.
I know a lot of people in book clubs now are doing.
Yes.
I see that the Hellenic Women's, the Hellenic American Women's Council, is that right?
Yes.
They have their annual conference, and it's Hellenic American Woman, A Personal Journey to Success at the Colonnade Hotel, November 17th and 18th. And you're one of the panel speakers, along with Maria Stefanos.
Yes, so you saw that.
I did. Now, on your background check.
Yes.
Though I do look into these matters, but that's wonderful. The hawk has recognized you.
I am touched. I am grateful.
Yeah, that's really something, Stella. So I did pull a couple of the quotes. I hope it's okay if I could just read to the...
Sure, of course.
Because for me to write a review or something on the web means I had to be moved. And so many people have said, beautifully written, I couldn't put it down. Jim B. reviewed the book not just on May 3rd, a very poignant story of an amazing journey. The detailed descriptions of people, places, and events had me crying and smiling throughout the read. And it's just Joan LePage, this was reviewed on February 24th. A beautifully written memoir covering the span of her early childhood in northern Greece through adulthood in America, Stella takes you on a journey of unspeakable loss, resilience, and strong family bonds. Taxi to America is a gripping account of triumph over adversity. I couldn't put it down. It's a must read. These are all, I have 4 pages that these are the ones that I was excited about. It gets me excited. Mm. How does that feel when people are reacting in that way?
It feels great. It makes me feel that the point of writing the memoir came across. That was the whole thing. For people to realize we can overcome challenges. We can overcome them and then put them behind until the next challenge, and not carry that on and on and add to it one after the other.
Yeah.
Overcome look at challenges as opportunities. Of course, at a young age, that's difficult. I didn't say that to myself. I didn't know I was doing it.
Right.
But later on, when I was an adult, I realized I was doing this all my life. I was able to do it. So for people to say the comments that you just read is great, because that was the whole point.
That was it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on reviews, you said how you have to be inspired to write one. It takes a lot to actually sit down and write a review.
Yes.
So everyone who has done it, thank you so much. Yeah. And for everyone who's read the book and will read the book, I will appreciate it if you will write a review. It takes extra time. It doesn't have to be long. Just a few words, what you thought about it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, let other people know. And again, the Stella's website is at stellanahatis.com. And I'm just going to spell it, because sometimes when we go down, if we haven't taken out our pen in a long time, we have to think. And so it's Stella, Stella, Nahatis, NAHATIS.com. And the book we're discussing this morning is Taxi to America. And it's an incredible, incredible story. What other things did you face coming here? As there was the language thing that you mentioned, but just being, what sort of issues might you one encounter as being adopted versus, maybe the age of your parents? Was that ever an issue?
There was a big issue for my 11, 12-year-old person. They were older.
Right.
They got married late in life. They could not have children and adopted. Also, understanding the Greek culture of the time, this was in the 50s, early 60s, having, I heard the chatter of adults. I was one of these little kids that just stayed with the adults and listened to, I observed what they were saying, and they all thought I was doing my own thing, but I could hear them. And a conversation that was prevalent whenever they got together, not just about me, they would say, oh, a couple has to have a child, at least one child, to take care of them in the old age.
Oh, the Yerondokori. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. When the couple is old, who's going to take care of them? So they always want it. And of course, a girl was a preference because the daughter would always take care of the. It was definitely a cultural chauvinistic world. So I heard all that, and I know the couple adopted me. I feel it in my heart, not so much because they wanted to have a child, but they wanted to have a child that would take care of them later in life.
Yeah.
And at least that's the feeling I had. And it was difficult for me to bond with them. And I'm being so truthful. I've been truthful in the whole book. So, and some of these truths, for some people, is difficult to admit, but it's my truth.
Right.
I felt uncomfortable having older parents.
Yeah, that must have been really hard.
Yeah, and in school, it was great because in the Greek culture and immigrants, they didn't realize how important it was to show up for different events at the school.
Right.
And in high school, where I assimilated and wanted to become such an American student that I did do it.
Yeah.
I was involved in many activities. And I was grateful that they did not come because they didn't know they should be coming.
Because it would have been
it worked out.
It would have been not an embarrassment, but you would have had to explain and then deal with, because people, I would like to think people are better adjusted now or better educated or more sensitive these days.
Absolutely.
I hope.
Plus, 60 is not that old nowadays.
No.
70
is the
older,
new 50.
Right, right. But at that, when you're in high school and your father is in his late 60s, it's embarrassing because he's more like a grandfather.
Yeah.
And at that time, I don't know how children would have been, my classmates. Yeah. I just felt uncomfortable and that I was something different and strange.
It's so hard. I remember in grammar school, you know, those things were, okay, well, what now, who's going to get up and say what their parents do? Well, daddy's a firefighter and mommy's a nurse, you know, and there was all these, you know, traditional nuclear families and, you know, the world's different.
Right.
But in those years, the differences weren't talked out, and there was no sensitivity, nothing. It was just
exactly
unknown.
You just do.
But you were involved. You were involved with activities, and you stay. Now, I noticed on your website that you do volunteer work, and I think that says a lot. And what is it in you that makes you feel like you want to do volunteer work at this point in your life?
Well, I have been doing it since I was 12, or before that. As soon as I learned English, I became a volunteer. My parents had me interpreting for them. They had their friends come with letters for me to interpret. They had their friends ask me to go to an appointment with them to be an interpreter, whether it was to a doctor or the parents who had children in school. Even though I was a student, they would take me with them to translate for them.
So it started
like that. I kind of fell into it, but it also didn't feel strange to me. I felt, when I was asked, I felt very comfortable doing it. I didn't think twice, oh, why am I going, that kind of thing. And so throughout, it just kept going like that, whether it was interpreting or helping someone else out or carrying someone's groceries, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And once I was an adult and my son was in school, I was involved in the school committees throughout high school. Any association I was a member, I became a volunteer also.
Right. Yeah. That's wonderful, that wanting to help. Which is, you cited as an example, offering to carry someone's groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I lived in the city, there was giving up your seat on the
yes.
subway. Right?
Recently we discussed that with people.
Yeah.
We did that.
Because there's some people that don't do that. They, you know, if
they
see someone struggling, they're going to take out their cell phone and maybe have a laugh. And you have to wonder, gee, where did they learn that?
Yeah, we've come a long way, and then we've lost some of those things.
Yeah, we have. But you know, now that you've mentioned, I have to ask, you have a son.
Yes, and a grandson.
Oh,
16 years old, my grandson.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was very much interested to know how he felt about the chapter where I talked about my yaya and that bond, which was special, which I know I have given him that bond also, and that it feels really good.
Oh, yes. That's nice. Yeah. Did you have an opportunity to see your extended family, the uncle that you mentioned, later in life? Did you, when you went back to Greece?
Every year. And we communicated all the time, and he with him and his family, yes, we stayed in touch. I feel like I have three families, my biological, my adoptive family with whom I am close.
Yes.
My parents have passed, but the extended family,
yes.
and also my sister's family, her extended family. So at this point, my sister and I are considered a unit, we're treated like a unit. So when my family does something or we're together, we're part of it. We're both sides, all three families.
It's so great. It's nothing like a lot of family.
I know.
And some people that don't have any family.
I agree.
So.
And we all try to be a family to them.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it's all about, right? That's what makes the world go round, hopefully. Our guest this morning is Stella Nahatis. We're talking about her new book, Taxi to America, A Greek Orphan's Adoption Journey. And when I first saw the title, I was interested because it... she was adopted as a baby, but that wasn't the case. She was about 11 years old when she was separated from her sister.
Yep. Separated at 10 because she was adopted, and then a year later I was adopted.
My word.
Yes.
Yeah. How hard. Yeah, at 10 years old you have your memories.
Mm-hmm.
You have your early memories. Are some of your early memories good memories?
Beautiful memories. Up until the point we lost our parents, great memories, whether it was with my yaya at the village, my uncle, when he was in the service, he was stationed in Thessaloniki, so I got to know him there.
Oh, nice.
So, beautiful memories, my parents. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's so nice that you have taken your life's journey and you've put it into a book and have had such good response. So many people saying that the story is compelling. Review after review says that it's not just destinations, but a personal, introspective journey. These are heavy words. You know, this isn't what I did on my summer vacation. So I want to congratulate you on writing the story. And what would you like to see? How would you like to see this received by younger people? What do you hope that they will take away from it?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. For them to realize as they're going through the normal adversities of just being a teenager, being a young child and facing something, that I can get over this, I can do this, there's something else I can do, I can change this. Or to say, if she could do it, I can do it.
Right.
Just the idea that they can take one step when they're facing something difficult, something even losing a boyfriend, which is so traumatic, to just even kind of ground themselves and say, wait a minute, okay, where do I go from here?
Right.
We all have it in us to be able to overcome things. We just need to take the time to do it. I was fortunate that I could do it at a young age without knowing all of this, that I could do it.
You could.
I didn't know.
And you didn't give in to despair.
Yes, know. That is huge, to just take a moment, think about it. What is this bad thing happening to me now? What will I do with it?
Right.
Let me do something about it that will make it better.
Right. Now, on your speaking engagements, they've been in person. Have you been asked to deliver something on Zoom or on video?
I have been, but have not done it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Okay.
Yet, yes. I definitely am willing to and will.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's good. Yeah, because if it's moderated and it's well moderated and well run, it could be a good experience.
Yes, absolutely.
It's when all of a sudden we have 15 minutes of, can you please turn your microphone down?
Right.
All of that and the dog barking and the...
Right.
But it's been such a great morning. Before we say goodbye, I want to ask you, is there anything that we didn't say this morning? Because all the time when I do these interviews, I think later at night, I think, gee, you know, I should have asked this. Is there something that I should have asked you that I didn't?
I may think of that tonight. But for right now, I want to say that the book is not just about loss and challenges and adversity. It's about strength, resilience, and perseverance. And if that message comes across, which so far it has, I've done a good job.
Great. Great, Stella. Thank you.
Meleti, thank you so much for inviting me to be here. And thank you for what you do for the Greek heritage through your nonprofit, the Greek Cultural Resources.
Thank you .org. So much. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it so much. It's so nice speaking with you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning was Stella Nahatis. Go on and check out her book. It's out there. You can't miss it. It's Taxi to America. And if you just put that in, I just did a Google search this morning, Taxi to America. It was the first thing that came up, A Greek Orphan's Adoption Journey. And you'll see the book, which has a beautiful picture of her, Stella, as a young girl holding her birth parents' hands. And we'll leave you with that. Stay tuned. As the top of the hour, we have the news report with Nicoletta. You're tuned to Grecian Echoes. It's Mondays with Mileti.